neat video that I was watching it, and the Lord kind of took me a different direction than what I expected as I watched it. It's a video that it's very just heartwarming and inspiring, and it just shows different people with different struggles in their life. And you can tell from the expressions on their face and just how they're doing that they're troubled, and then these little bubbles come up that tell, you know, what they're dealing with, problems with marriage or depression or addiction. And then they show the change in the story where a neighbor comes along and shows them kindness, or somebody, a coworker, maybe talks to them and encourages them, and just the difference that we can make in each other's life. And a lot of times when I watch a video like that, I maybe it's just as a pastor, I think of myself as the person who's bringing the help, you know, sometimes. And as I watched it, I thought, you know, there's a lot of times that I'm the other guy. There's a lot of times that I'm the person who's struggling. Oh, well, there it is. Well, this will do it even better, so I'll leave. So there's the intro to the video. So that was it. And I was thinking about that in light of being a missional church, in light of being Church Reimagined that really tries to reach out to other people, that really at the end of the day, all we have to take to anybody else is what we've received from Christ, what we have ourselves. Otherwise, it's just religion. You know, it's just ministry. It's not really authentic with the Holy Spirit using us to do something powerful in somebody's life that's going to make a difference. And I think sometimes, especially some of the younger... Oh, there it is. It's okay. You know, I've met people before. I've had conversations with people before, and I've probably even been this person before, where when I first came to Christ, for a short time anyway, until things got pretty difficult, for a while you just think, okay, I'm following Christ now, so the struggles should go, you know. Everything is just going to be all blessing, and he's going to work everything out for me. And you very quickly find out that is so not true. If anything, maybe the opposite, that sometimes there's some extra struggles because you're following Christ. And during those difficulties, because sometimes it's not trivial, sometimes it's something extremely painful that we're dealing with, sometimes it's something, a struggle that doesn't get resolved, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and the struggle's still there. And we wonder, in the midst of that, hopefully not for too long, but I've been there myself, we just think, wow, you know, does God not really care the pain that I'm dealing with here? This is pretty intense. This is pretty hard to continue in this situation. And we wonder, really, I think the question is God going to show up? You know, I know he's aware of what's going on, but is he going to show up in a way that changes something here? Because that's what I'm needing. And I was wondering, you know, if you've ever had a time in your life where God has shown up for you, where it wasn't a matter of you trying hard to fix your situation. And sometimes we can impact our situations, or sometimes somebody comes along and helps us out in the midst of a situation and things do change. But sometimes God shows up in ways that we don't expect, when we don't expect it. And there are times that, you know, we pray and we wonder if God's going to show up. And the truth is that eventually in his time and in his way, he always does. He always does. God shows up so often, even in a way that we can feel, maybe not in the way that we're asking him to, but when we worship, sometimes we feel his presence. As we're in prayer, as we read his word, sometimes he speaks into that to us. One of my prayers for many years now has been for God to bring revival, that his spirit would just be poured out in Kokomo in such a powerful way that only he could get the credit for it among the church, that no matter what cool ministries are going on, no matter how nice churches are playing together, that God would just show up in such a powerful way and transform lives that he would just get all the glory, and it would just blow us away. That'd be so much more than what we've been asking. But after a long time, you know, you see people struggling and you see marriages falling apart and you see a lot of unrighteous laws being passed. And you're just like, God, you know, when is it enough? When are you going to show up here? You know, and we've been crying out for so long. And you wonder if God's ever going to do this. And I think looking at Scripture, that we can say, you know, God really does like to show up. He really does love to come into our lives. Last week we were talking about some of God's attributes, and we know that God is great. You know, he not only created the entire universe and spoke it into existence, that he sustains it, that every moment the universe continues because it's his will that it continues. And we also talked about how just how awesome and how good God is, that he cares for us and that he's involved in our lives, and that we know because of the cross of Christ that God has a great plan to redeem people. And so God is very concerned about us and very involved in our lives. And I think that God does want us to help us to understand his glory and to experience his glory. And so I wanted to look at Scripture tonight at a couple different examples of people who are very like you and me, and people who have just experienced these situations where God showed up. One, I think, where they probably should have expected it, but they maybe didn't. And the other, where they weren't really expecting it at all. We're going to look at, this is Luke chapter 1, so if you have your Bible with you and you want to open it to Luke 1, or if you've got an app, Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5. These are stories, these couple stories we're going to look at. They're very familiar to a lot of us. Sometimes at Christmas, I think we read these stories a lot. But my prayer leading up to tonight has been that maybe we would see something in these stories that would touch us in a new way in our hearts. These stories are really amazing when we think about the way that God shows up in people's lives, people who are just like you and me. In Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside." You know, I was reading that, the story about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and thinking about it. And they're such a godly couple. You know, it's very clear in the text. Actually, I can think of a couple in Kim and I's life who I'm sure she's knowing exactly who I'm talking about, who reminds us of that couple. We prayed for one of them earlier. You know, these are the sort of people that you would hope would come to your cookout if you invite them. People that you'd like to have as your neighbors, people who could be here at Here's Hope worshiping with us next week. And we read about it in the Bible and we think, oh, these are these awesome saints. You know, these are these incredible godly people. But they really were just like me and you. And they were people who were seeking the Lord. Zechariah was a priest and a descendant of Aaron. The Bible says they were righteous and blameless. They were good people, but they were childless. So they were doing everything right. You know, they weren't sinless, I'm sure, but they were doing everything they really ought to be doing, living the way they should live, and they've been crying out to God, and they still don't have any kids. And I think for some of us, you know, we can read that, and it's easy to have a disconnect, because we think, you know, if I'm doing everything right, you know, if I'm really, you know, I'm in Scripture, I'm in prayer, I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm staying away from chew, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever the don'ts are, you're staying away from those, you're doing good things, and you're thinking, man, I've been just seeking the Lord for this one good thing. You know, it's not a bad thing, it's something good, and I want him to have the glory, and I'm praying about it. And where is it? You know, when is God going to show up? But in this story, we've got these good people, and they're just not getting what they desperately want, the desire of their heart. And I think a lot of us, you know, we can relate to that. We've been in that position in our own life. of just waiting and wondering, and the question in their heart is, God, when are you going to show up? You know, what's wrong here? What do we need to do for you to come into this situation, for something to be different? And they know that if God shows up, something is going to be different for them. If God shows up, they're going to have that desire of their heart. And I started thinking about my own life when that's been a lot like their situation, where I thought, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in Scripture. I'm sharing Jesus. I'm reading my devotional. And I feel just kind of spiritually dry, because there's things that I'm praying about. There's things that maybe shouldn't be a certain way, and I'm crying out to God, maybe even something in somebody else's life. And I'm just saying, God, you know, it seems so dry. I mean, where are you? When is your timing to show up in this situation for me here? And I think most of you could probably relate to that. You know, specific things I've heard with people I've talked to before, just in conversation, where they've said, especially young people, a lot of times will say, where is that perfect spouse? You know, I don't want to be with somebody who's not a Christian. I don't want to be with somebody who's going to take me down the wrong path, you know, tell me to do wrong things. And I've been praying for this partner in my life, and they're not there. You know, where are they? You know, for some people, it's a job. They're around maybe people who are saying a lot of ungodly things, people who are just doing things that are the wrong, you know, wrong choices. Or, you know, for some people, we're saying, God, you know, how am I going to pay my bills next month? When are you going to show up in this situation? You know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. When are you going to help me? For some of you kids, probably, when are my parents, Lord, when are they finally going to start understanding me? And some of you parents, it's, when am I going to, you know, when are they going to understand me, right? And that's where Zechariah and Elizabeth were. That's the exact place they were. They're these good people. They've got dreams. These dreams aren't being fulfilled. But then God does show up for them. And we're going to look at how God showed up in their life. And also we're going to look at Mary and Joseph. That's another couple here in a minute we're going to talk about, of how God shows up. So Zechariah, he's on duty at the temple. And this is a really big day. If you've ever studied the temple process and how things worked with the priest, at that time, there were about 18,000 priests approximately in Israel. So for a priest to get their turn to go into the holy place on this rotation and burn the incense, we're talking about once every 25 years. So as an adult, Zechariah and most priests, you're maybe going to get two chances in your lifetime for this day to ever come. Maybe three, if you live to be old enough. So this is huge. This is a monumental day in Zechariah's life. And so Zechariah goes into the temple, into the holy place, and he's going to go in and burn incense. That's really about all there is there in that area. And next to that, a lot of you may know, there's a place called the Holy of Holies, and it's divided. There's a curtain that divides the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, only the high priest gets to enter there, and that's once a year. So it's a very, very special thing. So Zechariah gets to go into this holy place on this amazing day, and he's about to be blown away, because as much as they've been crying out for something, I don't think he expects that God's timing is probably, in God's way of showing up, is the way that he's expecting him to. So it says in verse 11, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John.'" As a priest, on this big day, Zechariah had been very prepared. He knew exactly what to do going in. He knew what to expect. But then this angel shows up, something very unexpected. And the scriptures tell us that Zechariah was seized with fear. And I think sometimes when we read that, we think maybe fear means godly reverence. I've even heard a lot of times pastors, and I've probably been guilty of this, say that when you read fear in the Bible, God doesn't want you to be afraid. It means reverence. Actually, sometimes it really means fear. It means terrified. Zechariah is freaking out at the sight of this angel. He's never seen anything like this. It's his special day. Nothing like this, according to his thinking, was supposed to be happening. This wasn't his expectation. And this angel says, don't be afraid. And the reason is because most of the time when angels show up in the scripture, people are terrified. They're afraid. So the angel says, don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. You're going to have a son, and you will give him the name John. And reading that, when you get to that point, if you don't go any further, you just think, wow, this is great news. You know, God's shown up, the prayers are answered, everything's fantastic. Their son, we learn, is going to be John the Baptist, who is a major character in God's plan. He's been given this amazing gift from God because John is a prophet. And not only is John a prophet, God, as far as speaking through prophets, God has been silent for 400 years. And John has showed up for that silence to be broken. And after 400 years, there's probably a whole lot of people in Jerusalem and a whole lot of people in Israel saying, wow, when's God going to show up? You know, where is he? We're under this occupation. Life is really hard. We're all crying out to him. When's God going to show up? And John's the answer to that, or part of the answer to that, of the end of God's silence. The angel said, looking at verse 14, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for a child for a long time, and they had no idea what kind of child they were going to get as an answer to that prayer. In verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife as well, along in years. I can't beat Zechariah up too much over his statement there. I mean, if you look at it, I can think of times that, you know, I pray and I pray and I pray and God says yes, and I still have doubts. I'm still questioning him. And there are times, some of my friends can even tell you in ministry, where I've prayed and prayed and prayed, God's opening the door and says yes, and I say, wait a second, God, I need confirmation. I need, you know, you got to put out a fleece here. You got to do something other than open the door and tell me yes to my prayer. And Zechariah says, basically, how do I know that this is from you? And the angel doesn't seem happy at all with Zechariah's response. The Bible says, recorded in verse 19, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, which when I read that, anybody who stands in the presence of God is not somebody that I want mad at me. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, unable to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So the angel says, basically, you want a sign? Okay, I've got a sign for you. You're not going to speak until the day your son is born. You will be silent. And I think that that's part of God's way there, part of God's mercy, to let Zechariah know this is not from you. This son that is coming, it didn't just finally work out for you that she finally got pregnant. This is from God. This is an answer to your prayer, and it's a gift to you. Zechariah, I think, is probably a lot like me in this way, too. I think this is why God did it that way, with the silence, because there's times that I actually pray, and God answers my prayers, and then it works out. And then 6 months later, I'm saying, wow, I did a pretty good job with that. That turned out well for me. I'm glad I followed that plan that I had. I'm glad that I made those choices that I made, and everything worked out. And the reality is, we don't get any of the glory, that God is the one who has given that gift. So Zechariah, he comes outside the temple. He leaves the holy place. And everybody's probably wondering at this point. He's been in there a little longer than he should be just to go in and burn incense. And they're wondering what's going on. So he comes out and he can't talk. So he's trying to communicate. I don't know if he's, you know, probably doing sign language and scratching out things and everything he can, you know, to try to get them to understand what's happened. And then after that, he goes home, and his wife is waiting for him. Elizabeth is there when he gets home, and so he's got to share this news that God has shown up and that he's going to do something in their life that they don't deserve. He's going to answer that prayer. But the angel Gabriel is not done. 6 months later, he shows up again, and this time it's to a young woman named Mary, who is a cousin to Elizabeth. And Mary, from the text, we know she's probably a fairly young teenager at this time. In Luke 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Excuse me, I'm going to grab a drink. So here, it's perhaps a little different situation. You've got this teenage girl, and she's engaged. And it's just an ordinary day in her life. She's not in a special place once every 25 years burning incense or anything. She's just going through the regular motions on an ordinary day. And then all of a sudden, in the form of this angel, God shows up in her life. In verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. See, Mary, like a lot of teenage girls, probably knew from her parents or friends or something how pregnancy worked, how people become pregnant, and so this didn't really make much sense to her. She's probably thinking, you know, what kind of news is this, that I'm going to be pregnant? She's thinking, I'm engaged to Joseph, and I know how this is supposed to happen. We get married first, and then pregnancy later, and so I'm sure she's thinking about this, and as it settles in, she starts thinking about Joseph. She's probably getting a little panicked, thinking, I've got to tell Joseph. I'm pregnant now, and I've got to tell Joseph. And she's probably wondering, you know, what do you say? How do you, and I don't know what she's rehearsing in her head. Congratulations, Joe, you're going to be a dad. You know, and they haven't been together. And they're engaged, and she's a virgin, and they're waiting on their wedding day, and she's pregnant. I'm thinking Joseph's reply, you know, if you kind of look at it from his side, he's probably thinking, all right, who is this Gabriel guy? What is this junk he's talking about, and where is he? Because I need to go talk to Gabriel. You know, Gabriel and I need to have a discussion about your pregnancy. And then, besides telling Gabriel, she's got to go to her parents. You know, here's this good, righteous, blameless girl who's been making good choices, doing the right thing. She's engaged, and she's got to go tell her parents that she's pregnant, and I'm sure she's troubled by this. But if you look at the original Greek there, where it talks about her heart and how she's troubled by this, it doesn't mean afraid. It means confused or perplexed. Mary's confused by what's been said to her, by this news, and she's thinking, you know, how can this happen? And it's a really different response. The news that she got from the angel is news that's just going to blow her away, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, but her response is different. Zechariah was terrified in this situation, but Mary is confused. She's like, how can I be pregnant now? And to me, I get some comfort from that when I look at that, because there's a lot of times when God's doing stuff and I'm confused. And I'm just like, God, I have no idea what you're doing. You know, I know it's you in this relationship. You know, I know you're doing something here. I know it's you in this job. You know, whatever's going on here, I see your hand, but I don't understand it. You know, what is this? And I'm confused by it. And God seems okay with our confusion. With Mary, in verse 24, she says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is already in her sixth month. for no word from God will ever fail. And then Mary makes this incredible statement. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. And I think about God showing up in my life, and I think, wow, I want that to be my response. You know, that's when God shows up, when God starts doing something in my life, when he starts answering those prayers in my life, I want to be like Mary, even if I don't understand, and a lot of times I don't know what God's up to. Even if I'm confused, you know, I'm trusting God, and I'm receiving what he's doing by faith. We've got two different stories, two very different couples, and they're people just like us, people who could be here worshiping with us next week, people that you could run into at your job. And they respond so differently when God shows up in his glory through a message from an angel. And I think God is consistent in this, that as we look at these stories, there's lessons that we can learn about God showing up in our life personally that we can take away, and how God can show up even for Here's Hope as a church. And the first lesson is, the first big idea is that God does bless those who trust him. God blesses those who trust him. I know, just from speaking with many of you, and I would have to say, you know, even for myself many times, that a lot of you have been calling out to God about something in your life for a long time, and you're still calling out to him, and you're still waiting and waiting, and you're wondering when that answer is going to come, and you're trying to just keep trusting and keep knowing, you know, at some point in his timing that he's going to show up. And the reality is that he does. Even as we trust the Lord, I think the hard part is that confusion, because a lot of times we're calling out to him in prayer, and we expect the answer to that prayer to look a certain way. And we expect the answer to that prayer to come in a certain time that makes sense to us. But God does hear our prayers. And as we trust him, I want to say to you, to each of you this evening, that whatever you're trusting him for, and whatever that prayer is that you've been praying for a long time, to keep praying that God will hear you, that he is the same God that heard Zechariah and Elizabeth and showed up in a very unexpected way, in a very unexpected timing for them. And he will do that for you, that he hears your prayers, but he may do it in a way that you're not expecting him to. And he may answer that prayer in a timing that doesn't make any sense at all for what you're expecting. But he does love to show up, and I want to encourage you to trust him to do that for you. And Mary went to visit this cousin, Elizabeth. And when she went to visit, the baby leaped in her womb. And continuing there in the verse, it said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. This is Elizabeth speaking about her baby, jumping at her. And she said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Speaking to Mary. And Mary has a song that she sings in the verse there, a song of God's glory. And this is in the second half there of chapter 1. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord," verse 47. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." You know, God loves to show up for those who trust him. I was thinking about Here's Hope Church and just everything that's happened to bring us to where we are now, and all the things that we've had to trust God for, and all the things that me and Kim and also the rest of our leadership team have had to seek God for. And as I was considering those things and thinking about it, I was reading about a startup church in Paris, France. Their first service was a year ago on Christmas Eve, and the people at this church in Paris, in view of the Eiffel Tower, they've been praying and asking God for a long time to show up for the people of Paris, that there would be revival and that many people would get saved. And not only did God show up at their Christmas Eve service, but they had a lot of people come there who checked a box saying, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about the Bible. A lot of you may remember also that that same season, that same winter, in mid-January, less than a month after that first service, was the terrorist attack at the newspaper offices in Paris. And it took place just yards away from where this new church was meeting. And then after that, there was the horrific attacks later in Paris. And in the midst of all that chaos and death and destruction, these believers were still calling out to God for his blessing and trusting him. And there was a group of people who were saying, God, we want to share you with the people in our city. You know, we want the people to know who you are and what kind of God you are. And we want to see a movement of your Holy Spirit here in this place. And these people, I think, were a lot like Mary, a lot like Elizabeth and Zechariah and Joseph. And they were just saying, God, we want to trust you for something great in our lives. We want you to show up here. And there was an organization, a church planting organization. They're called Dynamic Church Planting International. And they sent one of their staff members after these terrorist attacks to Paris several months ago. And they were hoping that maybe they'd get to meet with one or two people who'd be interested maybe in planting a church in Paris. And so they'd prayed about it, and they went there. And they had 30 lay leaders, all show up, all wanting to plant 30 churches in Paris. God blesses those who trust him. And he'd multiplied the faithfulness in the prayers of that one church that was meeting next to the newspaper office to 30 people coming and saying, we all want to start 30 churches in Paris. And another thing that we can learn, in that is that God not only blesses us for ourselves, you know, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing for others. You know, God is blessing you, and God is blessing me so that that blessing can overflow from our lives into the lives of other people. That's one of the reasons we have Go Forth Sundays. That's one of the reasons why we're a very missional-minded church in our community. That we know that anything that God does ever within a building or within our relationships with each other, it's not for us. It's not just for us. It's so that we can take that out into the community and bless other people. A second thing that we can learn from these stories is that God is our provider, and that's our second big idea. God loves to show up and give us things that we don't even know that we need. He is so great that when he does show up, a lot of times, he not only answers that prayer, he over-delivers. He gives so much more than what we're asking or imagining. And there are times that the answer to that prayer is no, because what we're praying for isn't really what we need. There was a prayer, actually, that God did answer for me, but it wasn't a need. My mom will remember, I was praying for a motorcycle when I was a kid. I had a bike. I had an older brother who's 8 years older than me. He's still 8 years older than me. Who is amazingly cool in my eyes. He's still cool. I hope his wife and daughter are here. Is he not cool, Sarah? Yeah. But my brother would do cool stuff, like have me on the back of the motorcycle going 80 miles an hour and then pull it back on one wheel, riding on the back doing wheelies. And I'm this little, so I'm thinking, this guy is just the coolest guy. He terrifies me, but he's remarkably cool. So I wanted to be like my brother. I wanted a motorcycle. And I probably even prayed for that, and I actually got it. And do you remember? I mean, it didn't go well in the short term. I wanted to be like him, so I started building ramps and had an uncle that was visiting from Atlanta and wanted to show him what I could do with my homemade ramps and my barrels, and so I ended up in the hospital. But praise the Lord, I live. But, you know, God's really not about giving us what we want. I mean, sometimes he does, just out of his goodness and mercy. Sometimes to teach us a lesson, he gives us what we pray for. But he really is more about giving us what we need, because he loves us. And I try to figure out sometimes for myself what I need. You know, I try to work hard at finding my solutions to my problems, I think. And I want to make sure sometimes that everybody else is working hard to solve their situations too. Do you guys do that for your friends and your family members? It's like, well, here's obviously what you need to do. Here's the plan, and here's how you work it, and here's how things get better. But we need to realize that really at the end of the day, it's God who makes things work out. It's never our cleverness. It's never our sufficiency. It's not our plan that makes things ever go okay. God is the one who gives you the gifts to bring into situations, to give skills in situations, that he is the one who provides even the work ethic to do a good work for him. He's the one who gives that. And he does provide for us. Sometimes he provides in ways that don't make sense to us, that are confusing. We think, okay, God, I don't understand how this answers my prayer, but okay. But in his timing, he does. And there's a lot of great examples. You know, Rick could tell you, as Here's Hope has come together, just ways that God has answered our prayers for us as a body in ways that we did not expect at all. We'd actually spent time looking for our own church structure, our own building, our place to meet. We were sure before we started meeting here that he was going to open that door. We even thought we knew what his timing would be and where that would be. And actually, in his timing, it may be the place we were thinking. But he provided for us. He provided the place for us to come and worship him and to make him known and to share him with others through the graciousness of Carpenter's House and Pastor Paul. And it wasn't what we expected, but it was perfect. It was exactly his answer. So going back to the verse, in Mary's song there, she realized that, you know, even in our need, God comes alongside us. And in verse 50, she says, or sings in her song, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty." Mary realized, I think, for her to sing this, that God, you know, I'm understanding a little bit of who you are. I'm understanding that all this goodness in my life from you is something that I don't deserve. This is just who you are. And this is your gift to me. God provides what we need. And I'd like to challenge you and myself during this week. Sometimes I think it's easy to forget how God has provided in the past. But maybe just to take some time in your prayer time and ask the Lord to just remind you, to bring back remembrance. God, you've been faithful more than I understand. Could you show me, could you bring back to me how you've been so faithful in my life and how you've answered prayers? Or many of you may do this, and I need to follow Brother Rick's good example, journal. When you make those requests to the Lord, and he starts answering those prayers in your life, and he starts showing up, it's a great idea to write those down, because over time we can forget. And it's encouraging to us to know that he does show up, and even though we don't deserve it, and he answers our prayers. And another thing we need to also always remember is that the reason he does show up, the reason he answers those prayers is because he loves us. That's why he showed up for Zechariah and Elizabeth. That's why he allowed Mary and Joseph to be part of his plan to bring the Savior in the world. It was just out of love, that he just wanted to bless them and let them be part of something he was doing. One of the things that also challenged me in reading this was Mary's response and how she just started praising the Lord, because the answer really wasn't there yet. She had the angel's word. He had given her a word and said, this is what's going to be. You know, you're going to be blessed among women. You're going to have this son. And I think there are times where I'm waiting on God's answer. Lord, when it comes, when I get this thing, I'm going to start praising you, right? You know, when you show up, when you've answered my prayer, then I'm just going to give you all the glory. And Mary handles it a lot different. Mary says, no, I believe you, God, right now. I know you've said it. You've given me a word about this. I trust you. I'm going to praise you. Right now, Lord, I'm giving you glory for your answer before it even shows up in my life. Mary says in verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So she looks back and she says, God, you've been the God of my parents, of my grandparents, of my great-grandparents for generations, and we've had your word. We knew that someday Messiah was coming, and I trust you. I believe that all those promises to them are coming fulfilled, even when we're not aware that God is showing up. You know, we know we can trust that his answer is on the way. When John the Baptist was born, his parents named him John, and his neighbors and relatives, they said, Zechariah, aren't you going to name him after you or somebody in the family? And Elizabeth said, no, we're going to name him John, because that's the name that the Lord wanted us to give him. And Zechariah also starts to sing a song, much like Mary. He has a worship song. And both of those songs, his song really focuses on how great God is. Not just that, hey, this is great. God answered my prayer. I'm happy now, and I'm getting what I want. But just the greatness of God. And so, you know, looking at that, I wonder, you know, what area in my life, where do I need God to show up? And what can I start praising him for now and trusting him for? Where can I just start giving him glory in my life, even though I haven't seen the answer yet, just because I know that he's going to show up? Over the years, God has given me a burden for people in Kokomo, a burden that I can't shake, a burden that it seems to increase all the time in my heart. And part of that is what's led to joining with others like Sean and Amber and Rick and Enola and other people who have a burden. Tony also, I know, has a burden to reach people, to reach the lost in Kokomo. And that's part of what's crafted Here's Hope. And I have asked the Lord at a certain point in my prayers as Here's Hope came together, I started asking him, Lord, I need an encouragement from you. You know, I've had this burden for a long time. I believe that you are taking me to a place that I don't necessarily know what that looks like, but you're taking me somewhere with this new vision, this new ministry called Here's Hope. But God, I need other believers that have the same vision, that have the same burden in their heart. And I really, you know, I had no idea how God was going to answer that. And Kim could share, I mean, the story is really remarkable of how God brought Rick and Enola alongside us, how he brought Sean and Amber alongside us. We really didn't have much conversation about it. Just the Lord showed up to them and showed up in a way that connected their hearts and their desire to reach people and their love for the people in Kokomo with ours. And we just started praying that God would show up in this community together among the body of believers known as Here's Hope, that God might do a new work, that he might bring revival here. And he started connecting us with other churches in the community through things like Revive Indiana, together, worship together, serve together, just different opportunities for us to reach out and to be the hands and feet of Christ and to join together, trusting God for something much bigger in Kokomo for people to come to him. So I'm going to wrap up. I think that that's really the message the Lord had for me to give to you is, I guess, expectancy for me more than anything. Trusting him with your need, expecting that he's going to show up. And when he does, it may be in a way that confuses you. It may be in a way that's very clear. But however it is, to trust God to show up in the answer to those prayers that you have in those situations that seem impossible because maybe they've gone on for so long and you've been crying out to him for so long and just saying, God, where are you? I need you to show up. And just having a spirit of expectancy. And if you don't have that, to pray for that. Say, God, would you bless me with that? Would you help me to just expect, to know, to be able to praise you right now? You are going to show up, God. And I'm looking forward to it because I know it's going to be great when you do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the way that you show us that you are the living God, that you are a God who is working in each of our lives, Lord, in ways that we often don't see. And for that, we thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that for each of us here now, for any burden that's on any of our hearts, Lord, that we would take a moment now to offer that to you, that we'd lay it at the foot of the cross, and that we would expect, because of the blood of Jesus and your sacrifice that you've made on our behalf, that whatever we bring to you, Lord, in trust, whatever we put at the feet of that cross, that your answer is yes, that you'll take that from us, that you'll show up, Lord. Help us to be expectant. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever each heart is needing, whatever that burden is right now, the areas where it's just hard to have faith, Lord, would you bless us with that? Would you give us the faith that we need to say, yeah, I believe, Lord. I believe that I've been looking at that situation with fear, or I've been looking at that situation with frustration. Whatever it is, Lord, would you just give us the faith to be expectant, Lord, that you would show up in our lives, that you would give us a glimpse of your glory. Lord, we know that when you do that, that we'll be changed. That as you show us your faithfulness, as you show us your goodness, that it's not only going to bless us, Lord, but as you come into our mess and our brokenness, that you're going to give us a testimony, Lord. You're going to give us a message that we can share with somebody else that's going to encourage them, that's going to say, maybe there is hope for me. Maybe God is going to show up in my situation. So, Lord, we just invite you to do that, to come into our lives, to come into our mess, Lord, to change us, to make our story your story, Lord. I just pray you'd be glorified in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.